Good morning. It is so good to be with you this morning. And Ronald, I'm not the good-looking Elliot.
I know.
But that's all right, brother. We understand. Elliot and I both understand. You pray for one of us. We're partners, and it's all right. It's all right. It's so good to be here together this morning as the family of God sharing in worship services together. And if you're visiting, we want you to know that we're glad that you're here. We hope that you return in every opportunity that you have to be a part of our worship here and a part of this family on Sunday mornings. It's always a great opportunity, always uplifting and such a wonderful time as we present ourselves before the Father above. This morning I want to share with you just a few things, and you might even learn something this morning outside of biblical concepts I want to share with you. Steve, see, I took your advice. And But before I do that, I want to just remind you, in the bulletin, we have a lot of upcoming events. Please take an opportunity to look inside the bulletin. We're just a few weeks away from a men's day on that Saturday, January the 26th. We'll spend part of the day here at the building. Marty Kessler from the congregation at Choctaw will be with us and sharing with us that morning, and it's going to be an incredible day. If you haven't heard Marty before, when I listen to him, he makes me feel ignorant. He has such wisdom and such understanding of the Word, and it's an incredible day for us to share together as men. We have a Family and Friends Day coming up, and you can take that out of the bulletin, put it on your refrigerator, write it onto your calendar. That way you'll know that those days and our time of fellowship and sharing are coming up. This morning I want to take a lesson from 1 John, so we'll be there in just a minute if you want to turn over there. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, that's where we're going to begin. And so this morning, now I don't mean to embarrass anybody, but I want to ask, if you have a Bible with you or on your phone, would you hold it up? That's incredible. Incredible. Thank you for bringing those with you this morning, for having access to God's Word, whether electronic or in paper, is an incredible thing for you to have when we're here together learning from God's Word. So I want to share with you, this morning we're going to talk a little bit about my voice is a little bit weak too this morning, Bob. Bob sounded great, but I can tell he's struggling some with sinuses, and I am too. But you can hear me okay, right, in the back? Can you hear me in the back okay? All right. Maybe my ears. I want to share with you this morning a few things about genuine and fakes. Genuines and fakes, right? We're going to talk about those a little bit, and I want to... So I have a little short test for you this morning, okay? And I want you to see if you can tell... One or two of these you might be able to tell quickly that it's a fake. Maybe one or two of them you won't be able to tell. Which one's fake and which one's real? Anybody know? Can you tell? Right or left? Fake? Real? I'm curious. Tina Briley, which one's fake? The left or right? Right? What do you think? You guys know? Josh?
I think it's the left one.
Left one? Fake and real. Isn't that interesting? You know, our market is being killed by fakes and knockoffs. Companies are really hurting. I don't know that Nike's hurting that much, but there are plenty of fake knockoffs out there. What about this one, ladies? You know, I met a lady the other day that she makes a living by, she goes to Goodwill every single day and looks for things like this and turns around and sells them online. She knows. She can tell like that what is fake and real, and she buys them at a discount at Goodwill, and then she resells them online. Very interesting lady. Which one is fake and which one is real? How about that? Pretty close, isn't it? But you don't know sometimes which one is fake and which one is real. What about, now this one's pretty obvious, right? This is a high dollar tennis shoe here. Adidas, I believe it is. Adidas, however you want to say it. The one on the right looks real fake, doesn't it? The one on the right looks fake. The one on the left is the real shoe, I believe. Is that right? Yeah, real and fake. And we look at these things and trying to find what is real and fake sometimes, and you wonder if when you walk into a discount store, are you getting the real thing or the fake? Now, ladies, somebody tell me, what brand is that? Anybody know? It's what? Louis Vuitton. See, I knew there would be some women here who knew. Louis Vuitton. I didn't know. I had to ask Janine. Janine couldn't tell me either. We had to look it up online, which one, because it tells us which one is fake and which one is real, but I didn't know. I didn't know what it was. And obviously, the green is the real one, right? Oh, where did it go? It quit. Now what am I going to do? Oh, there we go. There we go. Now we're back. All right. Don't we love electronics? They're great, aren't they? So the one on the right is real. The one on the left is fake. So ladies, make note of that. There's the easy one, corners, right? Corners. So if you have a purse that you think is real and it's got square corners, I'm sorry. You paid way too much, right? What is fake and real in life? And sometimes it's hard to see. And this morning, what we're actually talking about is walking in the light. What are some things that are real and fake about that? And trying, whoa, that's not where I'm supposed to be. Okay, something happened there. All right. That's all right. It's going to work out. That's what we're talking about this morning. Walking in the light. Right? Thank you, Cameron. It's going to come together. So in 1 John, I want to give you some background before we get there, though. Okay? It's important for us to understand why John writes what he writes. We're going to dig in a little bit deep here this morning. Then we're going to step back. And what I hope to give you is something that is real. A gem, a treasure, something that you can take with you that will make a difference in your life today. So John is writing in a time period after the great Greek scholars, after Plato, Aristotle, and Socrates. And the Greeks thought of themselves in quite a pious manner. We're capable of understanding. We've reached this point where there really isn't anything in the world that is beyond us. And one of the groups that came from that, those above others, is Gnostics. The Greek term means to know. And this is some of the people that John is writing to in the first chapter of 1 John. They think they know everything. If they've thought of an ideal that sounded good, they would say, it must be divine, because it sounds good to me. Right? Try that one in marriage. That sounded good to me, hon. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right? If it sounds good to me, then it must be divine revelation from God. So, therefore, whatever you believe is wrong, now you must believe what I believe. Do we have Gnostics today? Oh, yeah, we have Gnostics today. We have Gnostics today. Considered themselves wiser than others. Have you met somebody like that? If you meet somebody who thinks they're wiser than everybody else around them, you probably ought to question everything that comes out of their mouth. They started, Gnostics are the ones who kind of started this concept of there are really two gods. There is one of the physical. So there's a God who made our bodies, and he is the God of the physical things of this world. But the spirit is separate from that. And there is a God that oversees the spiritual things. And the spiritual and the physical don't mesh. They don't come together. So it doesn't really matter what you do with your physical body, as long as spiritually you're thinking the way that you should. Now that doesn't make any sense, does it? That's like saying if you take a diamond and cover it in mud, it makes it brighter. Now that's a little bit strange, isn't it? Ladies, you want to get an engagement ring covered in mud? That doesn't sound like any good, does it? So that's one of the things he's dealing with. The Epicureans, Greek philosophers that taught sin makes no difference, and that's where we're headed there. It makes no difference. They live to satisfy and gratify the appetites of the flesh. So they would have partaken in some of the temples where the servants of that temple were actually prostitutes. It was one of the ways you would worship that false god. And they would gratify that and yet say, I can still be A Christian. The Epicureans. So the Stoics, Greek philosophers that taught sin must control, you must control the appetites of the flesh, taught that you must learn to control your body and eliminate all sin from your life before you can have fellowship with God. And so there would be those who believe that they were in that process of making themselves perfect first, maybe even before they could become Christians. Then there would be those who were Christians who believed that they were perfect, and that's why they had fellowship with God, that there's no sin in their lives. So we're going to take a look at this. As we read through, you'll be able to identify some of them. And we're going to move through quickly. Okay, so 1 John chapter 1, turn with me there. We're going to start with what's genuine and what's fake, right? So first step, that which was from the beginning. That which was from the beginning. It's reminiscent of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Right? That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the Word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and we have heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things to you so that our joy may be complete. Now let me give you a little bit of direction here. Okay? This is one of those kind of things, and it's not even close, but maybe it'll help you have a clear concept about what John is saying here. You know, Janine and I lived in Owosso for several years, and I had a friend who was a police officer there in Owosso for numerous years, went back years back when he and I were both really young. He started as a police officer there, and he had a friend that he made named, maybe you've heard of him, Garth Brooks. You guys know him? And I went with him to pick up his daughter from school one afternoon, private school in the Owosso area, and walking up to he and I was Garth Brooks. And he walks up to my friend and he says, "Well, good afternoon, Lauren, how are you doing?" And I thought, that's Garth Brooks. And I was trying to stop. I thought, you know, people like that, they get all the stuff and people go nuts around them. I didn't say anything. I didn't even act like I recognized who he was. And finally, he turned to me and said, "Hello, my name's Garth. What's yours?" Stuck out his hand like this, and I took his hand and thought, I'm shaking Garth Brooks' hand. And then we never talked about his music. We talked about he had bought a new tractor, and he wanted to talk about his new tractor and working on his little place up there that's just east of Owosso. And then about 4 months later, Janine wanted to go over to the Cato at Claremore, right? And we walk into the Cato, and I think, okay, I'll stand around the door or lean against the door or something for a while. And we walked in, and guess who's standing in the corner already? There's Garth again. And so Janine walks back, and out of the dressing room comes this lady named Tricia. Y'all know who that is? She comes walking out. Big country and western singer, by the way. Those of y'all don't know that. She comes walking out, and she looks at Janine, and she goes, "How do you think this looks on me?" And so Janine and Tricia Earwood spent the next 30 minutes shopping together in Cato. So that's Janine's claim to fame. I've shopped with Tricia Earwood at Cato while Garth and my husband talked in the corner. And I thought, what a down-to-earth kind of guy he is. We spent that time talking about his four-wheeler and running over the land, and he was having fun, and he had wrecked it once, and it was a good conversation. And I wanted to talk about the music, but I didn't, because I knew everybody else did that with him. But I know that he's just a normal person. He's very talented, but he's just a normal person. And we even talked about a struggle when he asked what I did for a living. He wanted to talk about his daughter for a few minutes. And it made him real to me. And John wants Jesus to be real to us. And so he's telling us here, you have to understand, he who was from the beginning, we have seen him and heard him, and we have touched him with our hands. And he is real, and he's been a part of our lives. And I want you to understand who he is. And I want him to be real to you. As children of God, I wanted you to understand what he gave to us. And now I want to share that with you so that your joy may be complete. That your joy might be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Remember those people who said, well, we're perfect now. God, in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Those who were gratifying the flesh but saying they were still perfect, we lie and do not practice the truth if we say that's what we are, that we can take part in sin and still be an incredible Christian. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And I want to stop right there for a second, because here's where two misconceptions come from. One is, once saved, always saved, because you're always in the light. And that's actually one of the things that John is trying to teach us. It's not true. The other one comes from many of us who, as growing up, as Christians, have the misconception that when I walk in the light when I'm doing right. When I'm doing good, I'm in the light. And then I make a mistake and I'm out of the light. I'm no longer in the light. And so we have this concept of, I'm in the light, I'm out of the light. I'm in the light, I'm out of the light. And guess what? That's wrong too. That's a total misconception. And so what we need to do is, instead of stopping here, sometimes I think the guys who came up with chapters and verses ought to have to pay a penalty. I wish they were still alive, the first guys who did that. We need to charge them on their taxes through the IRS at the end of every year. You've ruined everything. Because that's not where it ends. So if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Because we know that we all sin, right? We all make mistakes. Thank you. But if we confess our sins, now here's the key. That's why I have that in red. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. So he's saying, I understand that you sin. I understand that you make mistakes. Guess what? You make mistakes. I make mistakes. Ask my wife. She'll make that clear. She's out of town this morning with my youngest. Matter of fact, good morning, hon. She's watching with family members this morning. I make mistakes. But he writes these things to you so that you may not sin, that you can make the effort to leave those things behind, to become greater than what you are. That's what walking in the light is all about. That when we fall, we get back up and say, God, forgive me for what I have done wrong. But we have to understand that God's light is so great as it radiates into life.
as it radiates into who we are, it never stops, even when we make those mistakes. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate. If you sin while you're walking in the light, not separated, there are no verses when this letter is written. Not separated. If you're walking in the light and you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. The righteous. The one who is... Man, if I didn't know we were going to sing that song this morning, that summed my entire lesson up. Mighty to save. Because He is mighty to save. He is the righteous one. He has done what He has done for us. He gave His life on the cross so that God's radiant light shines through Him into our lives, and it never ever leaves us. As long as we continue to make that effort, as we continue to confess our sins and step forward and say, God, I want to be more than what I am. I'm not enough yet, and I don't know that I'll ever be enough, but I want to be more than what I am. I want to be greater. I want to be able to have an effect on others and help them change their life and change the story that they have, because I am a greater person because of God's grace and His forgiveness and the light that continually shines into my life and is a part of everything that I do. He is the propitiation. That is, He is the atonement. He is the one who has covered it. He is taking care of it. He has given Himself for us, that sin might be left behind and forgiven and forgotten, because He is the ultimate sacrifice. Just as Jerry talked about this morning, His blood given for us. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the entire world, because His desire is that the entire world would come to Him and begin a new life in the light of the Father and the Savior Jesus Christ. And by this we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. And that's key, because we understand that as we confess, we're doing that because we're keeping His commandments. We're making ourselves right so that we can continue to walk in that light. Now if we step away from that, if we decide, like a Gnostic, I'm smart, God has revealed this to me, you don't know, God's Word's not important any longer, I'm going to change that. And we have groups in America who've done that. Over and over, their Bible has changed. It's not worded like ours. It's not worded like the original text. Because somewhere along the way, someone decided, oh, well, God didn't really mean that. I got a better idea. Let me share it with you. You know, I got four brothers, and every time, well, I have three who are alive, every time one of them says, I got an idea, let me share it with you, I get real scared. Do you know how much trouble those guys have gotten me into? But as we follow the commands that we find in His Word, as long as we're stepping forward and becoming more, as long as we're confessing our sins and walking away from them and saying, Lord, make me whole again, make my life what it needs to be. I am yours. Have your way with me. Then I continue to walk in the light. And His light radiates my life. And it begins to shine to those who are around me. Whoever says, I know Him, but does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word in him, truly the love of God is perfected. Truly the love of God is perfected. Truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in Him, that we are in His light, that we're walking in His light. That whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Let marriage, and here's that thing, that's what I love about John. It's what I love about God's Word. Because he says, you know what, confess your sins and you can be right. You can continue to walk in God's radiant light. Isn't that incredible? That God's light lights everything that we do up. And then he realizes, you know what? I understand where so many mistakes are going to be. I know that what pulls you into the world and makes you want to leave the light behind and stop confessing what you have done wrong. Let marriage be held in honor among all. I got a call this week from
a Christian that means a lot to me. I'm not even going to say whether it was a man or woman. Doesn't matter. And this person was torn up because in their congregation, wherever it is, doesn't matter either, in their congregation, one of their elders, one of their deacons, and four other men have committed adultery and been caught in it in the last year and a half. And I tell you right now, we make mistakes, brethren, because we're not in the Word, because we're not listening to His commandments, because we've forgotten what it's like to be radiated by the light and the love of God. Let marriage be held in honor among you all. And let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral. For God will judge the sexually immoral. We need to hear that over and over again. And the adulteress. Keep your life free from the love of money. Free from the love of money. Free. Let me say it one more time in case you didn't get it. Because ask yourself what you did this Christmas. Keep yourself free. Keep yourself free from the love of money. And be content with what you have. For He has said, young people, you hear me? If you're in here, if you're 12 to 25, you better hear this. At 23, you're not going to have everything your parents have. That's not the way real life works. Otherwise, you will shackle yourself to debt. It will become your ruler. Say that again, please. It will shackle you as a prisoner. Be content with what you have, for He said, and here's the key, brethren, walking in the light as we confess, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He's shining through us, and we need to be reminded of that. All right, there we go. For whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper. Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. But he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. All right, we're closing up. Are you ready for me to close? Absolutely, thank you. I'm glad somebody had the nerve to say that. We got lunch waiting, folks. What's the problem? What is this? What are they? Don't know, do you? Might be one or two of you can tell the difference. What's the test for pearls? That's right. Because if they're fake, and since I probably bought these, they're fake. Sorry, hon. You married a preacher. But isn't it fun? If you run these across your teeth, they're going to be smooth. Babe, I promise I'll make it home with them. Look, I'm giving them to your son. Thanks, son. That's why you have children to help you take care of things. Say that again? That's right. But a real pearl is rough. It's not smooth. So here's the heart of the lesson, folks. Here's the close. An oyster takes what is flawed and makes it beautiful. If you confess your sins, God takes what is flawed and He makes it beautiful. That's the message of walking in the light. Through our confessions, God takes what is flawed and makes it beautiful. Now, let me give you this last illustration, and then we're going to stand, and I'm going to give you the opportunity, if your life's not right today, to set it right, to come forward, to join with in front of your brethren, to confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, be buried in baptism with Him, to be raised to walk in new life, to walk in the light.
Tori, Jay Thompson, Steve, these guys understand. They work in what industry? What industry do you work in, Steve?
Aerospace.
Jay, what does your company build?
Wings.
For those jetliners that you get in when you travel. But when someone makes a mistake in that industry, and especially if it costs lives, they may trace it all the way back to the little job that Jay does, or that I used to do for a while. It used to amaze me. It would put a lot of the parts for a wing. Matter of fact, Spirit Aerosystems here in Tulsa builds the wings for the Dreamliner. Huge jet. And we'd pull those parts, and some of them would just be, just like this. And I don't know why you would engineer that. You can explain to me later, Steve. Yeah, I didn't know. But if you make a big enough mistake, they'll trace it all the way back to you. You can't hide what you've done wrong. Brethren, as Christians, as people in this life, you can't hide what you've done wrong. The strongest men in this world are men who can stand up and say, I made a mistake. Amen. The strongest fathers and mothers in this world are men and women who are strong enough to stand before their children, even at 5, 6, 7 years old, and say, I made a mistake. There is only one who is perfect, and I am not Him. But I live for Him because He takes my imperfections and makes them beautiful. So my last question to you this morning is it time for you to confess your sins and ask God to take your imperfections and turn them into something beautiful? Why don't you come as we stand and sing?
Would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with Him within the narrow road? Would you have Him bear your burden and carry all your load? Let Him have His way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see 'twas best for Him to have His way with thee. Would you have Him make you free and follow at His call? Would you know the peace that comes from giving all? Would you have Him bear yourself that you need never fall? Let Him have His way with thee. His power can make you what you are to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see 'twas best. in his kingdom find a place of constant rest? Would you prove him true, each providential test? Would you in his earnest labor always at your best? Let him have his way with thee. His heart can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see 'twas there.